I've been thinking about this week just some of the different things that as we read about, and I mentioned some of the things about the book of Job last week, and I know if any of y'all have been reading through the Bible that Job was the reading pretty much for this week. And as I've read through it and listened to it both on there, I just wanted to, the thoughts come to my mind just basically the things about Job. I guess if I had a title for a sermon today, it would be, "Have You Considered Job?" And that was one of the questions that the Lord said to Satan. And I'm going to take my reading lesson out of that first chapter of the book of Job, starting in that 8th verse. Job chapter 1, starting in verse 8. It says, "And the Lord said unto Satan, Hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil? Then Satan answered the Lord and said, Doth Job fear God for naught? Hath not thou made an hedge about him and about his house and about all that he hath on every side? Thou hast blessed the work of his hands, and his substance is increased in the land. But put forth thine hand now and touch all that he hath, and he will curse thee to thy face. And the Lord said unto Satan, Behold, all that he hath is in thy power. Only upon himself not put forth thine hand. So Satan went forth from the presence of the Lord. And there was a day when his sons and his daughters were eating and drinking wine in their eldest brother's house. And there came a messenger to Job and said, The oxen were plowing and the asses feeding beside them. And the Sabaeans fell upon them and took them away. Yea, they have slain the servants with the edge of the sword, and I only am escaped alone to tell thee. While he was yet speaking, there came also another and said, The fire of God is fallen from heaven, and hath burned up the sheep and the servants, and consumed them, and I only am escaped alone to tell thee. While he was yet speaking, there came also another and said, The Chaldeans came out three bands and fell upon the camels and have carried them away, yea, and slain the servants with the edge of the sword, and I only am escaped alone to tell thee. While he was yet speaking, there came also another and said, Thy sons and thy daughters were eating and drinking wine in their eldest brother's house. And behold, there came a great wind from the wilderness and smote the four corners of the house, and it fell upon the young men, and they are all dead, and I'm only escaped to tell thee. Then Job arose and rent his mantle and shaved his head and fell down upon the ground and worshipped and said, Naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. In all this Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly." I'm going to just stop my reading right there. And I believe this is a reading that's very familiar to each and every one of us, that we're all aware of the story of the book of Job, that the Bible tells us very clearly in our reading, and we can look in the very first verse, and it said, man was perfect and upright, and one that feareth God and escheweth evil, or avoids evil. And that Job was, in all appearances that was given to us, for us to know and understand, a very godly man. He was a man that loved the Lord, that he feared the Lord, and he tried to do to the best of his knowledge just exactly what he was supposed to do. Now, all these different things befell upon him. And I just want to say that you know, when you read through this, if you're not paying attention, I believe many times we miss the big picture on some of these things, on some of these books that was written. In the order that the chronological order that was given in this reading that I've asked anybody that if they wanted to read, you'll find that in that reading that this book of Job falls in the 11th chapter of, between the 11th and 12th chapter of the book of Genesis. It was a time period that was basically the patriarchs. There was no government. The men were the priests of the house. They ruled their homes, and they looked to the fathers as for the guidance and everything. This was also a time that there was no written word. Now, we read here most of the first chapter of the book of Job, and we can read on through here and find out in the second chapter how that it says that Job sinned not and did not charge God foolishly. He didn't sin with his mouth. And read on into the second chapter here, and we can find out how that Satan come back, and he said, if you allow me to hurt his person, so that he will curse thee and he'll turn against thee. And so God allowed Satan to do that. The Bible tells us that there were boils from the soles of his feet to the top of his crown or to the top of his head. He had boils and sores upon his body. So he not only had lost everything for his earthly possessions, family and all of his wealth and everything was taken away from him, but he also had sickness upon him, that he was in pain and he was suffering in bodily stature. So all these things that was going on here, we have the privilege of having God's Word given to us, that we can read through this and better understand. It helps us to, explains to us a little bit better why what this happened to him and what's going on. And I believe in my study and understanding that there had to be examples set forth before us in our lives. There had to be examples set forth before these other men of old, these prophets of old. There had to be godly examples. When you read through this book of Job, there is a great deal of knowledge that is expounded about our Lord and Savior. It speaks of the daysman, which is reference to the mediator. It speaks of, Job makes a statement that I know my Redeemer liveth. Now, you consider the time period that this was presented and that it was written all the way back in the beginning, where there was no books, there was no Bible. He didn't even have the book of Moses to go through. He didn't even have the first five books of the Bible. This is considered, many consider this being the oldest book. So you consider everything that this man Job is going through. He's going through blindly. All that he knows is what he's been told from generation, time before him, men before him that has passed down. And we'll look in here and we'll see how that in these three so-called friends that he had to come to comfort him, that was, he said, he told them that they was very poor comforters. That there was very little comfort to him, but these three men and their wisdom of things that was passed down to them through their traditions and all the different things that all the things that was said in here was all passed down from man. It was all words of man. And Job was trying to put his finger on it. You know, as I said at the very beginning, he was a man that I believe did everything that he knew to do to please God and to live a godly life. God called him a perfect and upright man. I would say his standard would go far over my head of the kind of person he was. But he didn't have the knowledge and the understanding. And that's one of the things about the importance of, you know, we've been talking about the reading of God's Word and the importance of the understanding of God's Word. Job was a man, I believe, that had to suffer so we could have examples. So people could see and understand. I can prove a little of that if we look over into the book of James. In the 5th chapter, it tells just a little bit about Job. In the 10th and 11th verse, it says, "Take, my brethren, the prophets who have spoken in the name of the Lord for an example of suffering affliction and of patience. Behold, we count them happy which endure. We have heard of the patience of Job and have seen the end of the Lord, that the Lord is very pitiful," or extremely compassionate, and of tender mercy. Now, we look upon these things and that happened to Job, and we can, how was there so much tender mercy and compassion towards him? Well, I believe that we're going to find out that when we got to the end of the chapter, or the end of the book of Job here in our reading, it's basically very clear that the Lord, the righteousness of Almighty God, overwhelms Job. It overwhelms Job. He thought he was a good person and that he was doing things right, and he was doing a lot of complaining and a lot of accusing. But when it come right down and boiled right down to it at the very end, he come to understand that God is in control. This is a book about the sovereignty of God. God being in complete control. And Job didn't know, he didn't have these first two chapters to read before all this other stuff happened to him. He didn't have these things like you and I have. And also, at the end, when the Lord was speaking with him, he didn't give him a reason why he did what he had done to him. Our Lord is God. His ways are perfect. His ways are righteous. And there is a reason for each and everything that God does, whether we are able to grasp it or understand it or not. He is God. He is Lord. Thinking about some verses here. Over in the 14th chapter of the book of Ezekiel, in the 22nd and 23rd verse, it says, and it's speaking of Noah, Daniel, and Job as three men that would have been saved in a lot of different situations. But when we read on down here in this 22nd and 23rd verse, it says, "Yet behold, therein shall be left a remnant that shall be brought forth, both sons and daughters. Behold, they shall come forth unto you, and you shall see their ways and their doings, and you shall be comforted concerning the evil that I have brought upon Jerusalem, even concerning all that I have brought upon it. And they shall comfort you when you see their ways and their doings, and you shall know that I have not done without cause all that I have done in it, saith the Lord God." Everything that God does, there's a reason and there's a cause. There's a purpose, and it's up to us to seek out. And many times I know there's many things that's gone on in my life that I did not know why or when or how. Whatever happened. But I've been able, as time went on, and my relationship with the Lord has grown and gotten better, I've been able to look back in my life, and I've been able to see things more clearly. And I've been able to understand why some of these things happen in my life. Because of sin, and because I wasn't where I was supposed to be with the Lord, and the things that I was doing, they'll say in hindsight is 20/20. You can look back on things and the more you know about God's Word, and the more you understand the ways of the Lord, the better that vision will be. And also the better the vision and understanding will be when you come up on the situation. But as I say, All these things, I believe, were given to us for an example. And matter of fact, I believe the overall purpose for this book was that the world would have a written revelation of God to help us. It's a written revelation. Where would we be today without God's Word? So many questions that were asked in the book of Job. Why? Why did this happen to me? You know, Job, in the third chapter, he starts talking about, you know, he was cursing the day that he was born. All these things that fell upon him, he was cursing the very day that he was born. He was wishing that he was never even born. But you know, all through the reading of the whole book and all the things that he went through, he never ever once brought up the subject of suicide, though, of killing himself. Because he had respect to know that God was in charge and whatever was to befall upon him was going to happen. And it wasn't his place to try to change that. That God was in complete control. We live in a world today that thinks that they're in control. They do what they want to do. And so many people don't know and understand that when you die, it's your time. When the Lord takes you, it's your time. Job never, ever considered anything like that. And you know, and with all the stuff that befell him in this day and age that we live in, I mean, you think about a stock market crash. All the people that took their lives because they just lost their money. This man lost everything. And had sickness and everything. You think about all the people that just lose money. All the people in the big stock market crash that jumped off the top of buildings and did all these things. But he never considered that. We look at his three friends, Eliphaz, Bildad, and Zophar. These three men that came to him, they came to him to help him. But they didn't so much help him as to bring upon him more suffering because of their judgment upon him. Now I know and understand so many of the things they said, well, and this many times flows in our very own minds, and I know it does. It has mine many times. You know, well, if all these horrible things has happened to this man, then you have done something to cause it. You have sinned, you have cursed God, you have done something to cause it, because we have a loving God, a merciful God, and he would never bring anything upon you if you're doing what you're supposed to be doing. And that is basically the same stance that all three of these men took. They took that stance that, look, Job, you're guilty of something. You've done something wrong. You've done something that has offended God, or all these bad things that's come upon you would not have happened. Now, most of this book that we read from basically chapters 3 through about 32, or no, actually through about 3 through 37 or 38, is Job and these three men debating about whether he had sinned or not. Job, in his defense, basically telling them that, you know, with everything that I know about the Almighty God that I serve, that I haven't sinned. He tried to plead his case many times, but they just kept saying, well, you know, you had to have done something. Many times I believe that we also do the same thing. We jump to conclusions. We believe if something bad happened to somebody, then there must be sin in their life. I believe this book tells us and shows us very clearly, though, that through all the things that happened to Job, that's not true. Just because because bad falls upon somebody doesn't mean they've done bad. Doesn't mean that they're evil in God's eyes, that they have sinned or anything. Only that we need to remember that God is sovereign and that everything that is done for a reason and a purpose. We have to be careful when we start trying to judge what's inside of people. When we start trying to judge the hearts of people, when God is concerned, we need to be very, very, very careful. Because we can read here at the end how the Lord comes back and basically gave these three men a good tongue lashing, how they did not tell Job what was right. They falsely accused him. I believe that temptations fall upon all of us. And, what is his name? Elihu was the last young man that came and spoke to him. Basically, he wanted Job to understand that there was, that's the best way to put it. He condemns his friends. Job says he's just misunderstood the righteousness of God. Job has misunderstood the righteousness of God. And I think many times in our ways, I've had a lot of things that happened to me this week. And I was like, wow, I'm studying about the book of Job, I'm reading about the book of Job, and all these experiences is coming upon me, and it's just like it's giving me a little bit of a taste of it as I'm going through it. And you know, it's so good to be able to see it when it's coming. It is so good to be able to see how that we are going to be tempted, we're going to be tried, we're going to be tested of the Lord, but when we come through on the other side, if we're doing what we need to do, if we're not accusing God, and we're holding on to Him, we're trusting in Him, you know, He gave the promise to the church that I will never leave you nor forsake you. When God makes a promise, His promise is true. He cannot, the Bible says He cannot lie. And we can know for an assurity that He will be there for us. Job says, I know my Redeemer liveth. He knew and understood that one of these days he was going to get to meet Him. He spoke about leaving this earthly body. There was a vast amount of knowledge that this book lays out for all these prophets and all these men. There was so much teaching and circumstances and situations that was laid out from the very beginning to be an example for all those that would follow. But there had to be somebody that suffered through it and went through it to be that example. And bless his heart, Job was healed. God chose a perfect and upright man to be an example for all of us that we can read and understand better and do better. I believe that when we look over in the writings, I've already read out of James, out of the fifth chapter. But you think about when you start reading the first book of James and you see all these things. It says, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. Have you heard of the patience of Job? Has your faith been tried? Do you get tried and tested? Does your faith, does the Lord send somebody your way to test your faith to see if you're going to stand up and speak for Him? to hold up his name? Absolutely. Absolutely. Knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience, but let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not. And it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, not wavering, for he that wavereth is like the wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let not a man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Let the brother of low degree rejoice in that he is exalted, but the rich in that he is made low, because as a flower of the grass he shall pass away. For the sun is no sooner risen with the burning heat, but it withereth the grass, and the flower thereof falleth, and the grace of the fashion of it perisheth it. So also shall the rich man fade away in his ways. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation. For when he is tried, he shall receive a crown. The crown of life which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. We're all going to be tried. We're all going to be tested. We're all going to be tempted. This book of Job was an example to us that there is none of us above the temptings and the tryings and the testings of our Almighty Lord that is sovereign God. If He uses us in our life to be an example through our sufferings of sickness or sorrow or pain or whatever it might be, there's a reason and a purpose for it, and we're to be a light to this world that other people will look on us and they'll see that example in us, that they'll see Christ in us in our lives and the way that we live, that we hold up the Lord, that we not turn our backs on God every time some little something besets us in our lives, some sickness or something that falls upon us, that we always just keep on. That word patience means endurance. Endure. Have you considered the patience of Job? That word patience means endurance. A hopeful endurance. Through this life and through this world, as we go through this world, we're not above being an example. I believe that Job was the Bible says he was a perfect and upright man. And this was God saying that. I don't know if he could say that about me or not. So, when things befall us in our lives, when testings and trials and temptations comes upon, when we have death, when we have sickness, it matters how we handle it. It matters how we turn to the Lord. It does matter how people view us in all situations and everything that we do in our lives. It does matter. Because I believe that we were all given to be examples. We were given to be examples. And we're always supposed to be that example to this world. I don't think Job knew or understood what was going on. So many times he asked, why? What's the reason? Why is this happening to me? What can I do? You know, Lord, he said, Lord, you know me. You formed me from the clay, and you know me, that I'm just a man, that I'm a sinner, and you know what I am. Many times we take that sense too, don't we? Lord, you know me. You know I'm just a sinner. That I can't do no better than that. That's a bad excuse. Just a bad excuse to try to do what you want to do. Job used that. He used several different things, but when it come right down to the end of it over here, he He come to the understanding that God was in control. Over here in this 42nd chapter, after the Bible says that the Lord spoke to him out of a whirlwind, and basically he was just telling him about his sovereignty. He was telling him that he was in control of each, and if you read through there, you can find out of all the different animals and everything that he's in control. And he let him know that he is sovereign. And in this 42nd chapter it says, "Then Job answered the Lord and said, I know that thou canst do everything, and that no thought can be withholden from thee. Who is he that hideth counsel without knowledge? Therefore I have uttered that I understand not, things too wonderful for me which I knew not." "Hear, I beseech thee, and I will speak. I will demand of thee, and declare thou unto me. I have heard of thee by the hearing of the ear, but now mine eye seeth thee. Wherefore I abhor myself, and I repent in dust and ashes." I believe many times if we look at ourselves and we evaluate ourselves, we would, in the eyes of a righteous and almighty God, we would abhor ourselves and we would repent in dust and ashes. Only problem is, I feel that that's not done very often. I feel there's not a lot of repentance left in this world today, in our churches or anywhere. But when Job saw very clearly here the Lord, and he spoke to him clearly through all the situations and the heartaches that he went through, he repented. He told the Lord he was sorry for the way he acted, that he was just a man, that God's in control. And whatever he gets, he deserved. You know those saying, I'm doing better than I deserve? That's such a true, true, true statement. We're all just sinners saved by God's grace. Each and every one of us. I know that I've got far beyond anything I deserve in my life. I know that. I thank God for it. I'm a blessed man standing before you this morning. And I would say most of you are blessed in your lives and your families today too. Be thankful. Be thankful. And if God so chooses to use you, to tempt you, to test you, to try you through a trial, please know and understand, you're blessed. One of these days, if you keep holding up the Lord, you got a crown waiting for you. That's the way we need to look at it. We need to see the big picture of things. Always just keep looking towards the Lord. That's my message today. There's a lot of things that can be said out of that book. But so much can be brought out. So many teachings and so many things. But I just, I know that we all deal with all the different things. Death and sickness and all these things, and our families. And we have to deal with it. It's part of life. Death is a part of life. Sickness is a part of our lives. It's part of it. It's sin. Sin brought about death. It's just the way it is. We just have to know and understand how we should handle it. And remember that we are truly blessed. If you've been saved by God's grace this morning, you are a blessed person. That no matter what happens on this earth, that it's just, the Bible says, just a moment of time compared
to eternity. Just a moment of time.
I thank you for being here today. I appreciate each and every one of you. If there's ever anything that I can do for you, I pray that I will be a better comforter than these men were. They came to lift him up, and all they did was drive him down further. Let's try not to do that. Let's try not to be the judgmental people. When we go to comfort somebody, let's comfort them. Let's try to lift them up. Let's not try to push them down further. I'll hush. Is there no thoughts or words on anyone's heart this morning?
Appreciate the Lord Jesus.
The Bible says that there's no fear in love, but there has to be a fear in reverence. There has to be a fear in knowing that we serve an Almighty God that is in control, that He is truly sovereign of everything that goes on in this world. And that I'm part of His family. I'm one of His children. If I do something wrong, I know He will chastise me. There's not any fear in God's love, but there is fear when we do wrong. Word or thought on anyone else's heart this morning? If not,
services.
How do we want to handle this? I mean, do we want to go visit at Gateway and cut the practice short? Or I mean, I don't care. It's whatever the will of the church is.
Not much at all. I mean, it's not a problem as far as the church program practice is concerned. We can make that happen. Gateway's not that far from here.
Right.
That's not
and it is something that we've done for the last few years that we went and visited with them. And it's good fellowship with our sister church, so I think that'd be good. So whatever the will of the church is fine with me. I'll just say this. If there's anybody against us going tonight, speak up.
We don't have a visiting preacher tonight, is that right?
No visiting preacher tonight. We did have one scheduled, but it canceled.
Okay.
So.
Okay. Well, there. See, I wasn't totally out of line. Feel better now.
One of those things you just didn't know about, right? How let it go? Just didn't know about it. Don't know how. It's hard to, you know, you think about it. Joe didn't. He didn't know how to handle the situation because he just didn't know about it.
His friends.
And his friends didn't help him much. You know, the things that they told him was no doubt true. What we believe, we do believe that, you know, that the Lord will chasten and that there is, that the Lord does do things like that to those that that are His. But that just exactly wasn't the situation here. So we need to understand we don't have the mind of God. We don't have God's mind. We don't know as much as we think we do sometimes.
Better off not to. Just leave it in His hands. He knows how to handle it. We don't have a clue.
My head would explode about a little bit of what He has. Anything else? Is there any objections to going to get with Him? Any at all? Now's the time to speak. If not, then we'll do that. We'll go to Gateway tonight. And what time is the practice starts at that time?
It's at 4:30. And what I'd like to ask, since we're going to be a little pushed for time tonight, if I could have some more stronger men hang around right after the service. We're just going to clear that altar real quick, and then I'll let them go.
Okay. All right. Anything else on anyone's heart? If not, I'll stand and we'll be dismissed. Thank each and every one of you for coming today. If you're visiting with us, we thank you. Hope you'll come back.
Amen. Brother Arnold, there also will not be a practice next weekend. I have announced that to the youth and everybody else that's involved, but just so everybody knows, we will not have a practice next weekend.
Okay. All right. Brother Shoulders, would you dismiss us?
I kind of have to thank this another day. Thank you that we had this opportunity in our house. Thank good men that we heard the one that brought it to us. And I would thank the men and breeders we have. And we observe Thanksgiving